o'clock. Call to order the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting for April 11th, 2024. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay. Agenda item two, notification of Open Meetings Act and meeting procedure. A copy of the Open Meetings Act Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used with respect to each agenda item. The directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendation. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chair. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Item three, quorum call.
Clement.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler. Henningsen. Jack.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Teaser.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And Chairman.
Here. I have an excused absence here for Director Tim Fowler. Item four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second. You're getting quick.
Roll call.
Yes. Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Here. I mean, yes. Interrupting me.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. Item five, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Davidson.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. Item six, I have affidavit of publication of this meeting notice, and it will become part of the permanent record of this meeting. Item eight, agency association reports and presentations. 8A, please read the written report, if you haven't already, by Christian Schluter, district conservationist. Item 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD Board of Directors will be meeting in McCook, Nebraska for the meeting and the annual basin tour on June 10th and 11th. It's my understanding that Director McCormick is going to be attending, and because I have an anniversary during that time, my wife threatened me I better not go on the tour. So it's going to be up to you, Tim.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. And the NARD Washington trip was held March 18th to 20th. Directors Vaughn and McCormick, both of you attended. Would you care to give a report?
I was impressed with a couple of the presentations, particularly one by Julie, I can't recall her last name, but she was bioeconomic advisor to the governor and reported about some big projects that might happen in Nebraska with the renewable fuels. And she's promoting that, promoting complete farming, end-to-end loops, and as well, there were some very good speakers about some of the technology that's developing. That's all I have.
I thought it was a great trip. About 50 of us went out from Nebraska and consolidated with a couple other organizations that were in town. We did round robins with all five congressional delegation members and had some private time with them. The breakout sessions were solid. We had a really good presentation on soil conservation, soil health in Nebraska, and the differences between the different zones and some of the challenges that growers are having out there with soil and contamination and water accessibility, of course. And overall, it's just a wonderful time for us to kind of bridge the gap between rural and urban. So much of what we do is built on relationships. So I really appreciated the time I had to network with the NARD staff. Dean and I had quite a long time to talk while we were on the bus rides together, and so that was valuable time. And then we also, early on, when we first got there, the first day, had some time to get out to Gettysburg and take a look at that, and hear from some of the people that run that facility, and hear about some of the conservation efforts they're making just to maintain the old battlefields, and protect them from stormwater runoff and fertilizer contamination from surrounding towns and stuff. So great time, lots was gained there, and some good relationships were built. So appreciated the opportunity to go.
Thank you. That concludes our report, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Director Teaser. Item 8C, Nebraska Natural Resource Commission, Director Larry Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At 1 p.m., we met in Kearney. So I thought the 11 o'clock time was good. Well, now the 1 p.m. In Kearney. I was going to say it was about as windy as it is today, driving from Omaha to Kearney on April 3rd, and I was probably had a few choice words about that. But when I got there closer and closer, I just see all these birds, all these, you know, cranes and different species of ducks and geese, and it was just a lot of birds there. That was pretty to see. Talked about some updates, some, you know, just to reiterate what I had said in the last report, nothing for Cedar Knox. I guess they reappropriated $8.4 million from the WSF fund. But there was something also, I guess there was a state law passed that will, for the WSF fund, that will prioritize any projects for Native American tribes drinking water. So if any of the, you know, Native American tribes have write up a grant or something and want to be considered, they would get priority for any of their drinking water projects. Another, there was a presentation from the Lower Blue NRD, but one fact that came out, over half the dams in the Nebraska are over 50 years old. So over half the dams in Nebraska are over 50 years old. So it, people, you know, trying to rehabilitate or and improve or keep that in mind. I don't know what the numbers are for the Papua Missouri NRD, but maybe we can get that by next meeting or something, unless anybody knows that about the top of their head. But over half the dams in Nebraska over 50 years old. Of the WSF grant, as I understand, there's four big projects, applications, total request $12 million, and then seven small applications of a total request combined, $816,000. And that's about it. That's the report.
All right, thank you. Worth noting, Larry, Houston Engineering did a presentation in January about the age and associated costs with rehabilitating the dams in Nebraska. So you might want to look up Lindy or Mike on that. So
okay.
Well, thank you, Director Bradley.
Yeah, I'm over 50 years old and I'm not reaching yet.
Come on, sure.
You need rehab.
You know, along those lines, Mr. Chairman, while we were out there in DC, we had a nice long presentation from the NRCS about our aging dams in Nebraska, and they have a very good inventory, especially the ones that they helped to build, and some new funding opportunities that we should maybe become more familiar with.
Excellent. All right, moving along. Item 8D, Tim Gay, Catalyst Public Affairs, has a legislative report for us.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, thank you for allowing me to speak for a few minutes.
Did you want that presentation up?
Yeah, you can throw it up there, I suppose. Just John sent you this presentation. There's not enough there. But you can look at that later. I'll kind of glance over it. But I just wanted to kind of, I listened to the, went back to the January 9th meeting where I spoke here just to see if I was anywhere close to being on point. But anyway, some of the things we talked about then were the tax lids, and sure enough, that's what they did, tax bills and so on and so forth. The biggest thing we were working on with John a little bit was making sure you're not in that on the lids or the spending or the state taking you over like they did the community colleges and handling your budgets. So John was down there a lot talking to our senators. Dean, of course, does a lot of that work too. And I was talking to him last night. He said they made him offers that he could refuse. So anyway, but Dean did a good job of keeping the NRDs out of that. I don't know if they'll come back. And then also some of the, we talked about that big lake, that funding, $20 million was removed from that lake for the funding out here. So yeah, so that probably, and I have not heard anything since. So, but that was for some of the studying, and they're still working on that Perkins Canal. So some of those things we covered. But when I was talking that day, it was day seven, and I talked about the early priority bills. There was only like 190 bills introduced at that point. And then in day 8, 9, and 10, we ended up with 596 bills. So they dropped all these bills the last few days. The problem with that was then they started hearings on January 22nd and ended them in February 28th. So they crammed all those bills and hearings into kind of like a month, about 20-some working days, 25 working days. So they had committees going until 10 o'clock at night, 10 bills at a time in some of these committees. It was ridiculous. But that's what they ended up doing. On the natural resources bills, though, it was fairly slow on that front as far as what went to the Natural Resources Committee. That was one of the committees that did not get a lot of bills. Only 23 bills were sent there. Some of the things that we're working on, there were two new senators that was spent their, this is just their second year in Natural Resources Committee. So that was kind of interesting to watch them grow. I don't know if they'll stay on there. We're going to follow that. On the next page here, you can see, if we can go to page 3. Is there a clicker here? Oh, okay. Went back too much. Yeah, I don't want that. We'll click our way through here. So anyway, LB 867 was, they only had one committee bill for natural resources. Just because it was slower, I'll go back here. Oh, how do I get back? Okay, let me hold it. There we go. Anyway, that bill. So what they did in the interest of time was just put everything into their committee bills. As you can see, they had nothing hugely major, some hunting and fishing. I know John went down and testified on that, on the Veterans Day hunting permits and some of those hunting permits. Senator Sanders on the active duty. But yeah, there just wasn't a ton of things going on. You had everything from electrical generation to hunting. So they just threw those in there and got that done. Pretty slow year. One thing though, I will go to the next one. You were talking about water sustainability funds being raided. So that was a big problem this year. Dean went and opposed these during the committee when they have appropriations committee. So those transfers, the governor transferred about, I think it was $244 million of unused funds. But that was a couple of them. The reason he did that is people will build up funds and then they aren't used for some reason and they're just cash, like fees and things like that. And during rainy days or bad budgets, they'll come in and sweep those out. Well, this year he swept those out. There's a little heartache from some of the senators about why are you doing that, because we may need them down the road and those funds were for something else. There's a Noxus Cedar County one there. But what happens then is, I was just talking to Dean last night, the problem with that is, as you know, on those water sustainability funds, the projects build up and they take a while. And now he's swept that money out of there. So I don't know, you know, if they're going to try to put some of that back next year or what. But it's hard to stop that because the Appropriations Committee was just set on doing that. So anyway, that was a big thing. We didn't want to see Senator Ibaugh took some money out of there for a nitrogen reduction cash fund. That was supposed to come from the general funds, and she took it from this fund because they were starting to get worried that there wasn't enough money in the general funds. They were passing too many bills, basically, for that they didn't have the money for. So they're trying to find different ways. So she ended up taking $1 million for that. That's on final reading today, actually. So that was going on. The revenue, like I say, you've probably been following the tax bills. That just happened yesterday, last night. It's on final reading on next Thursday. I'm guessing that gets signed by the governor. You know, they took away the 1 cent sales tax, but that was the big deal. And that was the bill that you were gonna be in on the lids. But right now the counties are on lids, schools are on lids, and cities are now on lids. 3% and a lot of other moving parts that I won't get into. But hey, that was a big deal we wanted to avoid. So that's what's going on there. One thing I would say is going into next year, 14 senators are gone. Nine of those were committee chairmen and chairwomen. So they're gone. And so it's going to be interesting to see who takes over. You kind of get an idea of who you think will take over, but you never know till they have an election next year. So of all the primaries that are going on, we'll wait and just see who gets through those primaries in May, and then maybe start talking to them. But our main job is to talk to all the returning senators, keep educating them. One thing I guess I've learned or relearned after all these years is you can never tell them enough what you do. It's amazing sometimes when you're talking to somebody and it's like, how did you not know that about whatever the subdivision? So, but I think more and more with term limits, is you really, really, we've got to keep advocating of what you even do. So that's kind of an important thing going forward. So the bills, so we did put in the bill on the ARPA money, you know, to try to get some of that ARPA money. Unfortunately, but if you don't ask, you don't get. So, but John gave it a good shot. Most of that, all that money that they had, there's about $110 million. About $80 million of it was going to go to the roads. So they're putting it into road projects that are for special use, safety, things like that. And they say they can use it up quickly. So not a lot of people had a lot of luck getting that extra ARPA money. There was people asking for sewer money and other things too. So anyway, but that's what's happening right now. The change that's going on as far as the learning curve is also a lot of new staff members are kind of learning. New governor's people are still fairly new. You're just seeing a whole lot of different things happen this year that usually don't happen. Josh could attest to that, I'm sure. But it's a different way of doing things. Just even yesterday, this is not a big secret. You can read it in the paper. You know, they're doing this tax bill, and they're literally walking in the hall cutting deals amongst senators. Like, what do you want in it? What don't you want in it? I've never seen anything like that. And it's hard to get some of the amendments. They're not out till midnight or 11:30 at night for the next day. So it's been a challenge following all this stuff. Like I say, I'm glad there was no major things that affected you. But so that's our challenge going forward. Keep educating people when you can and trying to get them to come visit. I'd like to do some more visits, maybe on some of those, do a better job of getting people maybe to do the river tours and some of those things. It's hard, I know it takes time, but that's probably where they're gonna be a good advocate. I know the people that have done it have then been around to learn some things, so. But other than that, there's a lot of other things going on. Today they're doing about, I'm guessing 80 final reading bills, so they're just sitting there voting on bills that the governor's gonna have to sign, veto, or whatever. And then all the things that were done yesterday have to get carried over. And the day 60 is actually next Thursday. So they'll come in next Thursday, vote for some more things that were done yesterday. That right now then, the governor doesn't even need to sign those if he doesn't want to. He could just pocket veto a lot of things too, so who knows what will happen there. Usually they want to come back and override a veto, but this time they didn't give themselves time to do that. So it'll be interesting on the next Friday. There's a couple of bills that are close to, didn't get a ton of votes, so we'll see if anybody changes their mind between now and next week on some major issues, but who knows? We'll wait and see. Other than that, any questions? Or the other thing too, other things to follow, and I know Director Bradley talked about that. I paid attention, but not explicitly on that particular thing. But yeah, it's been busy, but kind of uneventful on your front. So that's a good thing, I think.
Any questions for Tim?
Tim, you probably don't know the answer to this, but I'll ask anyway because it affects me. The hunting and fishing database, they passed that, and is this a way to probably go into the licensing of the...
I did pay attention to that, actually, for you.
Thank you.
But yes, that's what I think they're doing. They're going to get that data. There's no fees, though. Why they're doing it, though, is probably for that. But I didn't see any fees attached to that.
Yeah,
it's voluntary.
Yeah, it's going to...
Yeah, it's the camel's nose under the tent. Yep.
I had to face that in South Dakota when I was guiding up there. That was painful, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did see that one, and yeah, I think it's just the start of something else. You have one, Tim?
Yeah, Tim, it's...
Go ahead, Tim.
So, do you recall they took how much from the Big Lake?
$20 million.
And was that the entire budget that was remaining for the study?
A good chunk of it. No, I think they were doing a study. They did the study, and they spent $2 or $4 million on that. And then this was supposed to be an economic impact and some of those things. So no one did it, or I don't know. It's all I know. They took $20 million away from there. So that's a good chunk of what they're going to put into it. And I haven't heard one word on that lake. I don't know if any of you have, but I haven't heard a word on it since. A lot of the people remember that were doing that are now going to be gone. As Mike Hildreth is gone, Mike Flood's in Washington, Mike McDonald is term limited out. So there's been nil on that.
Anyone to pick up the baton? Don't know.
Don't know. Never say never. But oh, and Sir Bosselman, he was kind of in on that. But remember, they all got their little piece of that Star Wars thing. And so I think those, the Lake McConaughey and up north, those.
Marina, yeah.
I just haven't seen or heard a lot since then. That was a big deal. Remember, yeah, 2 years ago or three, that was 3 years ago. It's funny how things change quickly. Mm-hmm.
There is a group studying the economic viability currently, and then they have a contract for that, but I don't know how long after that, if there's any money left to finish anything.
When they take that much out, though, you wonder. It's not, and I think the governor did say, the one thing he said is we need to look at priority or needs, not wants, or something like that. So I don't think it's a huge priority on Governor Pillen's list.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Director Thompson?
A couple questions. The tax thing may come up or may not come up or be resolved, and there's talk of Pillen having a special session for that, and that's, I assume, still alive until... But yeah. Then the other half of that is we get some outsider, non-Nebraskan, come in and say, we need a special session for, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, the splitting the Electoral College vote. Please tell me that's just a,
no,
that
didn't
BS.
No, they talked about it one night and it didn't go anywhere, but you know as much as I do reading in the paper whether they're going to do it. And the tax bill is, they got, just today I read, what they ended up doing is just taking the tax cuts they gave earlier where you had to go apply for your tax credit.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to apply. They're going to send it to the counties somehow, and I don't think anyone knows how this really works, to be honest with you.
Except now we pay more.
And maybe they'll have a special session because they get 22% of 40 that they wanted, and who knows.
And our Social Security, it was exempt, now it's going to be non-exempt. Save a couple of bucks on property tax, but then they hit us up for Social Security.
It'll be weeks or maybe months before they unwind everything, if you ask me. But.
And then one final question. It's theoretical in a sense, but you've been a state senator, been a lobbyist. Mm. How effective are the term limits? Are they, you know, from a historical standpoint, is it working? And I know it'll never apply to NRD directors, but just, do you think it was all worth it?
There's a lot to be said for people learning their jobs and sticking with them for a while, and historical knowledge is good, and it probably would be good in the legislature too, I think.
It's not going to change. We're still going to have term limits, I assume.
I don't know if they'll ever change it, but I don't know. I'll leave it at that. We'll talk about that privately sometime. We are on a microphone.
That's why I asked for your opinion, not your professional stand on it. Okay, thank you.
But, okay, well, thank you very much, and give a call or let John know. Talk to him about easily once a week on everything. So, all right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, item 9, subcommittee reports. Item 9A, ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the Big Papio Tributaries Culverts Rehabilitation Project. Director Jim Thompson.
It'd be me. Be resolved that the minutes of the April 9, 2024 meeting of the ad hoc selection subcommittee RP for Big Papio Tributary Culvert Rehab Project are accepted, incorporating these minutes. Following recommendation, subcommittee hereby adopt and approve contract with Houston Engineering for Big Papio Tributary Culvert Rehab Project. Recommendation, general manager be authorized to execute a professional services agreement for design, permitting, right-of-way, and construction services between the Papio NRD and Houston Engineering Incorporated for the Big Papio Tributary Culvert Rehab Project for a not-to-exceed fee of $880,769. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as informed by the district legal counsel, and the subcommittee hereby approves.
Okay, any comments on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Hi.
Davidson.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Keizer.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Slavin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Director Thompson.
You're welcome.
Item 9B, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the April 9, 2024 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporating these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 9B1, Amendments to Appendix H, Rules and Regulations, Rural Water Supply Systems. Recommendation that the proposed updates and rates to the district's policy manual, Appendix H, Rules and Regulations, Rural Water Supply Systems be approved, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and approval as informed by district legal counsel, and I so vote.
Any public comments on this item? Staff, directors? Director Jack.
I had one question. I wasn't real clear as to exactly how much of an increase the average person was going to get on their water bill. It seemed like the people using a lot of water were going to get a big increase, but I wasn't even sure how much that would be. But how much is the average person going to see a difference on their water bill?
Well, that depends on how much rain we get this year. You know, it's kind of hard to quantify some of that because your excessive use is made a September time frame usually. But what I did look at was, you know, during our peak pumpage during this last year, the 72% of our customers were using 10,000 gallons or less. So that would be the $4.95 rate per 1,000 gallons. Uh-huh. And so those 70% of the people that are just living their normal life, not abusing the water system, would not see a difference in their billing whatsoever. So their bill would be consistently the same that they've experienced because they are just using it for the general purpose of.
So their base rate didn't go up for anything else?
Only on Washington County 1, we upped the base rate from 17.75 to 20. But Washington County 2 is currently 25. So we did change the base rate on that one. So yeah, it will change $2.25 per month on system number 1. So yeah, it varies so much month to month, and especially with our descending scale of, you know, over 10,000, over 20, over 30, over 50, it changes a lot. But
you say the more you're using, the more you're going to charge them now or not?
The more they will be charged because it's a flat rate. So instead of when they went over 50,000 gallons, they were only charged $1.83.
Right.
For per thousand. Now it's just a flat rate of $4.95 across the board.
Okay.
So yes, the people that are using excessive amounts of water will pay more money.
Okay.
You know, but which is fair, I think. But if you look at the, like I said, the average family, you know, won't see a change, which is to me the most important thing. Our system, I'll honestly be honest with you, I've never seen a water system that has a descending rate from any of our suppliers or any rural water system in general. So I think really what we're trying to do is get with the times of having a flat rate. A lot of communities now are going to an ascending rate, which is actually charging more for the more water you use. So I think this is equitable and fair for everybody. But, you know, I just always thought it was kind of counterintuitive. As a conservation organization, that we gave breaks for people using high amounts of water, you know, so.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on this item? Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
And Chairman.
Yes.
Item number 9B2, Papio NRD Policy Manual Revisions. Recommendation that the proposed revisions to the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Director's Policy Manual 17.0 through 17.45 Appendix E, Manual of Standard Forms and Appendix J, Safety Manual be approved, and furthermore, the proposed amendments to District Policy 15.0 through 15.9 be tabled for consideration at the next regular meeting of the board, and I so move.
Any public comments, staff, directors? Roll call.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes.
9B3, interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha for the Little Papio Culverts Group B. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment to the interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha for construction of drainage structure rehabilitation for the Little Papio Creek levee. Last channel project with a reimbursement maximum not to exceed amount of $4,650,157.22, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Okay, any comments on this item? Staff, directors, questions?
I just have a comment that I hope it's not this new procedure that we're going to finance the City of Omaha. We'll have over $1 million to $1.5 million of interest or cost of funds because the City of Omaha can't come up with their share of this agreement.
Yeah, I don't think we want to do that, but we don't have a choice in this matter.
We do,
but. The consequences are severe if we don't.
I didn't hear that, John.
I was just gonna say if Omaha doesn't participate, then we're in a worse position because the Corps doesn't care whose infrastructure is deficient. They're gonna hold us to the
county. I think if I understand his question, we got an interlocal agreement with Omaha. Does this violate, in a sense, the interlocal agreement?
Interlocal agreement that we'll loan them the money for 8 years.
Yeah, they have to pay us back over time.
$6.4 million.
I don't disagree with
Director McCormick, but it's the only thing that we could. It's the best deal that we could get.
So I guess theoretically, you're saying, and I think we cleared this up on Tuesday, that Omaha could literally walk away from this, and yes. We're left holding the bag on everything because we're the responsible party. We are responsible party. Corps of Engineers.
Yes. And so
again, like Tim said, there's a lot of things I don't like about this at all, but. You know, it's What do you do?
So we would be held responsible for it, and the court doesn't care whose infrastructure it is. They just said, it's, this is deficient, and if you can't fix it, then you're out of the program. So and then we have the consequences of that. And I don't know what those would be. Depends on the catastrophic flood that follows.
The city doesn't need the certified levies?
Well, it's not their responsibility, so.
It's not our responsibility to finance the city either.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that. Yep. I don't disagree with that at all.
That's all.
Any other director comments, questions? Roll call, please.
No.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Not voting.
Yes.
9B4. Southern Sharpie Watersheds Partnership and a Local Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed 5-year and a local agreement for the continuation of the Southern Sharpie Watersheds Partnership between the communities of Bellevue, Gretna, Papillion, Springfield, Sharpie County, and the Papio NRD, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments or questions about the Southern Sharpie partnership? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
9B5. Dam Site 7 in a local agreement for Rainwood Road Phases 1 and 2. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed in a local agreement Rainwood Road from 166th Street to 156th Street with Douglas County SID 623, SID 633, and the Bennington Public Schools District, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deployed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yes.
Item number 9B6, Giles Road Siphon Replacement Project, right-of-way license agreement with the City of Omaha. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the license agreement with the City of Omaha for the use of district right-of-way near Harry Anderson Avenue and 110th Street north of Giles Road, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Yes.
9B7, fiscal year 2025 cost share programs. 7A, urban drainageway program. Recommendation that the application from the City of Ralston for $1,200,000 for a total of $1,200,000 be approved, subject to funding in the fiscal year 2025 budget. And I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
No.
Thompson.
Yes.
Can you say that?
Yes.
Item seven B, seven B, Recreation Area Development Program. Recommendation of the application from the City of Bennington for $19,119.27,500. The Village of Homer for $24,059. The City of Omaha for $50,000. The City of Papillion for $50,000. South Sioux City for $50,000. And the City of Valley for $50,000, for a total of $320,678 be approved, subject to funding in the fiscal year 25 budget. Nice to move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes.
Seven C, Flood Mitigation Planning and Mapping Assistance Program. Recommendation of the application from the City of Tacoma for $138,750 be approved, subject to funding in the fiscal year 2025 budget. And I so move.
Any public comments, staff, directors on this item? Roll call.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
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 McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
Seven D, Trails Assistance Program. Recommendation that the application from the City of Fort Calhoun for $345,189, Omaha Public Schools for $90,312, SID 305 for $253,344, and South Sioux City for $127,452, for a total of $816,297 be approved, subject to funding in the fiscal year 25 budget. And I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff, directors, good numbers. Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner. Bradley.
Yes.
Conley. And Chairman.
Yes.
And that completes my report.
Well done, Director Conley. Item 10, Treasurer's Report, Director Patrick Bonnet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be resolved that the treasurer is authorized to expend general funds to pay one, claims listed on the March 2024 financial report, and two, any claims made prior to the next board meeting, 4A through J. I'm taking those all inclusive. Be it further resolved that the treasurer be authorized to pay from the prospective operating accounts of each of the municipalities listed here on the sheet. And finally, be it further resolved that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes. And I so move.
Second. Second, Director Bradley. Any comments on the treasurer's report? Staff or directors?
Roll call. Henningsen.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Director Bonnet. Item 11, Chairman's Report. I would like to thank Director Tim McCormick for going on the basin tour. I'm sure he'll need a beer drinking buddy if anybody else wants to go on that. That'll be a fun one, but thank you for doing that. And thank you to Tim McCormick and Director Bonnet for going to Washington, D.C., taking time out of your busy schedules. We appreciate you doing that. So that's wonderful that you guys went on that tour. And lastly, Earth Day is coming up, April 27th. And, of course, Directors Thompson and Bradley will both be speaking at that. So thank you in advance for doing that. And I look forward to seeing the show. So, well done.
The show?
And that concludes my report. So, item 12, General Manager Report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lori Laster and Austin Hill participated in the Introduce a Girl to Engineering Camp, and that was led by the Omaha Public Schools. Over 250 middle and high school girls interested in STEM-related careers attended and participated. We enabled students to learn more about the Papillon NRD projects and responsibilities. So hopefully we'll have some future engineers working for the district out of that group. Personnel miscellaneous items. District has been awarded the Nebraska Safest Company Award from the National Safety Council for the 15th year. We'd like to thank Nicole Gus, our coordinator, and obviously the Safety and Wellness Committee, as well as our staff for creating a culture of safety, and directors as well for your support. The award luncheon will take place on May 1st, and I attached the award letter. I've sent out emails if anyone wants to attend. I've got several back that said they would, so we'll include you in the guest list. Construction on the Platte River Bridge Trail began in February and will continue throughout the summer. One of the northbound lanes of the traffic was closed on Highway the 3475 Bridge while the major structural work was in process. So far, they've completed driving the piles, and then they will continue to pour the deck and work on the girders and such. The project is expected to be completed by the fall of 2024, and I think we'll have a nice ribbon-cutting ceremony at that. So that's pretty significant to have that type of infrastructure over the Platte River. Also, report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal property is attached. Those the current and ongoing projects with the District Legal Counsel as of March 18th. The Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership Report is attached. That meeting held on March 28th. The next meeting will take place on April 25th. And Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Report is also attached. That meeting was held on March 7th. And their next meeting has not yet been determined, but we will notify you. So if anybody has any questions, be happy to answer them. That completes my report.
Can you give just 30 seconds on the Platte River obstruction?
Yeah, okay, so Platte River obstruction, we are working through the federal CDBG process to access those funds. So final application has been in. We've been awarded $7 to $8 million for that removal. We have to conduct an environmental assessment per the request or per the requirements of the CDBG. Then we're also working on the scope of the removal with the railroads, what they will allow, what they won't allow, working around their tracks. And we have a meeting coming up with them. We're trying to set up for later in April. Lindy's here too, and Houston's been working on that with us. So we're expecting we want to shoot for probably late summer, early fall for requests for proposals, and then the actual removal of the obstruction. But with any federal project and program or federal program, there's just a lot of boxes to check. You want to make sure that they are checked and you do them appropriately, because we don't want to have at the end of the day when we removed it, we've got a $7 million bill from the contractor. They said, oh, you didn't do this and you're not eligible for the funds. So we will also be setting up an interlocal agreement with some of the other partners. There's a 10% match on those funds. It's a 90-10 split. And so Sarpy County, Lower Platte South, Cass County, the SID, and as well as Papio will set up an interlocal of as far as who's responsible for that 10% and how much of that 10%. But again, we kind of need an idea of how much of that $7 million we're going to spend. If the work only allows us to spend $5 million, then obviously we'll base our cost share and our interlocal off that number. If it's the full $7 million, then obviously that number changes to 10%. So a lot of work to do still, but we've got approved for the funds. It's just a matter of finding filling all the requirements. Longer 30 seconds, but
our cost estimate for last year was approximately.
We could spend $8 million. We could spend more. I mean, wow. It's just the maximum that they gave us, and we're just going to have to utilize and take out as much as we possibly can. So
okay.
So how much of the river is actually dropped at this point?
2/3.
That's why I'm not catching any fish.
Yeah, it's about 1/3 of the channel's open. About 2/3 is completely closed off. We were lucky over this winter. We didn't have any significant ice jams. That would have been the ideal location. 1/3 of the channel's closed. You got 2 railroad bridges and the Highway 75 bridge. It would have been a disaster. There's no way to clean that. We couldn't have used explosives because you're too close to the the bridges, and so that would have caused a huge problem, so. But we got lucky, and we don't want to replay that next year, so.
How much did we save in that Ice Jam budget of ours?
We carry over 150 every year, so yeah, so one thing you are, we're working with some new contractors, new vendors, so they're not going to have certain requirements that we're paying for now, even if there's an Ice Jam or not, so. Amanda's working with them, so we're probably going to save some additional money there, but it doesn't take long when you start dynamite to go through $150,000, so. It's like 2 days' work, or, yeah, not even a day, so.
In dealing with the railroads, just one quick question is, we just threw out some big numbers for the trails.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those connect to any possibility for a rails to trails program?
We always look at corridors, but I don't know if there's any additional rail corridor that we'd be interested in or that we're pursuing right now. Eric, I don't think we have anything on the future horizon.
Rails to Trails isn't a funding mechanism. It's a transportation policy,
right,
to protect former railroad corridors. So if you look for funding opportunities, there is a good amount of federal funding from MAPA available, anticipated to be available in the next few years for funding, but our identification of locations through rail to trail corridors is slightly different.
Yeah. So, any other questions?
Questions for John?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Item 13, informational items. Please note the next meetings. Subcommittee, May 7. Board of Directors, May 9. Memorial Day is coming up, of course. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.